We have two scripture readings this morning. First one comes from the book of Judges. Judges chapter 7. And then we'll be reading from the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Judges chapter 7. And we'll be reading all the verses of Judges chapter 7. Let us hear the public reading of God's holy and inerrant and infallible word. Early in the morning, Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all his men camped at the spring of Harod. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Moriah. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands. In order that Israel may not boast about against me that her own strength has saved her, announce now to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead." So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remained. Then the Lord said to Gideon, "There are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will sift them for you there. If I say, 'This one shall go with you,' he shall go. But if I say, 'This one shall not go with you,' he shall not go." So Gideon took the men down to the water, and there the Lord told him, "Separate those who lap the water with their tongues like a dog from those who kneel down to drink." 300 men lapped with their hands to their mouths, all the rest got down on their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the other men go, each to his own place." So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites to their tents, but kept the 300 who took over the provisions and trumpets of the others. Now the camp of Midian lay below him in the valley. And during that night the Lord said to Gideon, "Get up, go down against the camp, because I am going to give it into your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah, and listen to what they are saying. Afterward, you will be encouraged to attack the camp." So he and Purah his servant went down to the outposts of the camp. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the other eastern peoples had settled in the valley, thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sand on the seashore. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. "I had a dream," he was saying. "A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed." His friend responded, "This can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands." When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he worshipped God. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, "Get up! The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands." Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them with torches inside. "Watch me," he told them. "Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout, 'For the Lord and for Gideon.'" Gideon and the 300 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they had changed the guard. They blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars. Grasping the torches in their left hands and holding it with their right hands, the trumpets they were to blow, they shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. The army fled to Beth Shittah toward Zerahah, as far as the border of Abel-Meholah near Tabith. Israelites from Naphtali, Asher, and all Manasseh were called out, and they pursued the Midianites. Gideon sent messengers throughout the hill country of Ephraim, saying, "Come down against the Midianites and seize the waters of the Jordan ahead of them as far as Beth Barah." So all the men of Ephraim were called out, and they took the waters of the Jordan as far as Beth Barah. They also captured two of the Midianite leaders, Oreb and Zeb. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb and Zeb at the winepress of Zeb. They pursued the Midianites and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon, who was by the Jordan. And now we'll read one verse from Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll read verse 32. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. We have been working through the book of Hebrews, and in particular, into the halls of faith. And as we've been working through this chapter, we have focused on each individual person and what they do and what it was that distinguished them and their faith in the Old Testament. And as we have done this, we have been called by God to keep in mind that the book of Hebrews is written to a particular people, a people that are suffering. It is a book written to people who are being persecuted by the Roman government for their faith. It is written to a group of people who have lost their property, who have been publicly exposed to insult and to persecution, and who now are living at a point in their lives where they may face dying for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you remember that one of the main themes of the book of Hebrews was a question that the people were trying to answer amongst themselves. And that question was this: God has sent us a Messiah. And the kind of Messiah, the Savior, the Deliverer that we wish we had, is one that would have organized an army against all the ungodliness of this world, which would have conquered the Roman government, saved us from the kind of oppression in which we have been forced to endure, the losing of our property, being publicly exposed because we love God and we love the Lord Jesus Christ. We wanted a Messiah who would come and conquer the world for God. And the book of Hebrews has been written to keep in mind that the kind of Savior that God sent, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross, is the true Savior. And the people who were reading the book were questioning to themselves, how could a Savior be someone who died on a cross? How can there be strength and salvation in somebody who came and was killed by that same Roman government, by the Roman soldiers, and put on the cross? Where is there power in that? And if you keep that in mind, you will understand why the Lord has included Gideon with amongst the names of those in the halls of faith. If you remember the story of Gideon, most people don't remember the Midianite battle, but most people remember Gideon as not a man of faith, but a man who doubted, who continued to need God's confirmation about the direction in his life that he wanted to go. In Judges 6, we see this already being played out. God has called Gideon to rescue the Israelites from the Midianites. The Midianites have come into the land, into the promised land that God has given Israel, and they have come in and they are beginning to take away from the Israelites in their food, in their animals, in their crops. There are so many of them that the Israelites are losing their food and they are feeling very, very much oppressed. And God has sent these Midianites as punishment to the Israelites for not obeying God and not keeping His covenant. And so the Israelites have cried out to God, and God is sending a deliverer, and his name is Gideon. And when God calls to Gideon, how does Gideon respond? Well, certainly not enthusiastically. If you look at chapter 6, verse 14, look what happens. The Lord turned to Gideon and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down the Midianites as if they were but one man. Gideon replied, If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you who are talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you. God has commanded Gideon. God has told Gideon that he will be the deliverer of Israel, and Gideon has doubts. Gideon is not a man of faith. As you read this story, you would say to yourself, this does not sound like a man who believes God's word and has faith that God will deliver Israel. This sounds like a man who needs a sign to confirm that what God is doing is true. And so, as the chapter explains, Gideon prepares an offering, a young goat and some flour, some meat and so forth, and he brings the offering to the angel of the Lord, and the angel burns up the offering. Verse 20, Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on this rock, and pour out the broth. And Gideon did so. And with the tip of his staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. Gideon asked for a sign, and God gave him his sign. But now as Gideon is again preparing to go into battle, and he is ready to lead the armies of Israel or the people of Israel against the Midianites, Gideon needs a sign. Look at verse 36 of chapter 6. Gideon said to God, If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all around the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand as you said. And that is what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowl full of water. Again, this does not sound like a man of faith. God has told him that he will defeat the Israelites, or he will defeat the Midianites through him, through Gideon. And Gideon says to God, I don't really know if this is true, if you are really going to save Israel through my hand. I need to put out a fleece. If the fleece is wet and the ground is dry, then I know that what you said is true. And when Gideon sees that in the morning, what happens? He still doesn't believe. He asks for God to turn it around. Look at verse 39. Then Gideon said to God, Do not be angry with me. Let me just make one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. This time make the fleece dry and the ground covered with dew. And that night God did so. Only the fleece was dry. All the ground was covered with dew. Not only does Gideon need a sign from God that he is the one who is called, but he needs two signs to confirm from God that God is going to deliver the Midianites into the hands of the Israelites, and that God is going to use Gideon. Now, Gideon's fleece is something that has been used many times by people. They'll say, I'm looking for a sign from God. I'm looking for direction from God as to where I should go. Maybe I should put out a fleece. And it is always used in the context of, if you have to put out a fleece, you are someone who does not have very good faith. Because we have to trust God and the revelation that He has given us. And so in this passage, as we've read chapter 6 and as we looked at various parts of it, Gideon's faith does not seem to be strong enough for someone who has gone through all of this to be included in the halls of faith. Well, certainly as we've read this chapter, it has become clear that Gideon is a man who has struggled with his faith. Gideon continually needs revelation from God to confirm that what God has said and what God has commissioned him to do to deliver Israel from the Midianites, he continually needs the power of God from heaven to show him that what God has said is true. Gideon is the man who cries out and says, Lord, help me in my unbelief. Help me as I live my life. I need confidence in you and in the salvation that you promised to provide. I am not sure if it is really going to happen. I'm not sure if it's true. Lord, help me in my unbelief. And God helps him. God sends the power of his revelation from heaven to help Gideon in his faith. And as you read the story this morning, you will see how Gideon is transformed in his life. To a man who doubts his faith, who continually needs revelation from God to confirm that what God has said is true, to a man who has great faith in weakness. If we were to distinguish the faith of Gideon from all the other people in Hebrews 11, that would be the answer. Gideon had faith in weakness. Gideon had faith, as you read chapter 7, in the salvation that God provides through weak means. Gideon had faith that even though God was not going to do something spectacular through him and what he did in leading this powerful army into battle against the Midianites, Gideon has faith that the way that God is going to save his people, no matter how weak, no matter how small it could be, that it will be the salvation that will save Israel. Gideon has faith in the smallness, in the unspectacular, in the salvation of God. If anyone could claim that it was not by their own power that Israel was saved, it would be Gideon on that night. Look at this story once again. Early in the morning, Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all his men camped at the spring of Harod. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Moriah. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands. In order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her, announce now to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead." So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remained. Gideon has sent out the word, and in his own power he has amassed an army of 32,000 men to attack the Midianites. And the Midianites have a great big army. Look at verse 12 again. The Midianites and the Amalekites and all the other eastern peoples had settled in the valley thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sand on the seashore. Gideon is going to fight an army that is as thick as locusts upon the ground and upon the valley, which has camels as many as the sand on the seashore, and Gideon is going into battle with 32,000 men. And the Lord sees the army that Gideon has amassed, and he says to Gideon, "Gideon, you have too many men. If you go into battle and I give you the victory with 32,000 men, the people of Israel are going to think it was not God who saved us, but it was we ourselves and the power of our 32,000 men who saved us from the enemy, who saved us from oppression." And so Gideon is told in his small army against an army as big as many as the sand on the seashore, as camels, he's told to dismiss those who are afraid. 22,000 men leave and 10,000 are left. But the Lord says to Gideon, "There are still too many men. Take them down to the water and I will sift them for you there. If I say, 'This one shall go with you,' he shall go. But if I say, 'This one shall not go with you,' he shall not go." So Gideon took the men down to the water, and there the Lord told him, separate those who lap the water with their tongues like a dog from those who kneel down to drink. 300 men lapped with their hands to their mouths. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. Then the Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the other men go, each to his own place." So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites to their tents, but kept the 300 who took over the provisions and the trumpets of the others. Gideon is left with 10,000 brave men who are not afraid. And when God surveys the 10,000 men that are not afraid, that could go into battle, God says, "If I give Israel the victory with 10,000 men, they again will think that it was their own might and their own glory that they experienced salvation." And so when he has them drink the water, 300 men are drinking as if they are ready to fight a battle. They've got their weapons or whatever they need to fight the battle with them. They are prepared as they drink. They are looking around as they drink this water. Well, 9,700 of them bend over and drink the water right out of the lake. And so the ones who are lapping out of their hands are the ones who stay, and all the other men are dismissed. So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites to their tents, but kept the 300 men who took over the provisions and the trumpets of all the others. And so the camp of Midian lay below him in the valley. And during that night the Lord said to Gideon, "Get up, go down against the camp, because I am going to give it into your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they are saying. Afterwards you will be encouraged to attack the camp." So he and Purah, his servant, went down to the outposts of the camp. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the eastern peoples had settled in the valley, thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sand on the seashore. Gideon has dismissed 9,700 of his army. There are 300 left, and he's going to go into battle against an army as big as the Midianites and the Amalekites, as many as locusts in the valley. Gideon, it told us, was afraid. So God, as Gideon is ready to go into battle, gives him more revelation. Verse 13, Gideon arrived just as a man was telling his friend his dream. "I had a dream," he was saying. "A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed." Why a loaf of barley bread? Barley bread was the bread that was used by the peasant people. It was a bread not fit for kings to eat. It was a bread used by those who were peasants, used by those who worked the soil, those who lived in the land, those who were like Gideon. And so when his friend in verse 14 responds and says, "This can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands." The army of Gideon is the barley bread. They are not tremendous fighters. They have not been trained in warfare as a specialized army of the kingdom of Israel. They are peasants who are beginning to fight this huge army only with the power of God. And when the man sees the dream, he sees and makes the connection to what is going to happen. Gideon, the leader of these 300 men, has the sword of the Lord, and it is he who will destroy the Midianites. And so when Gideon hears the dream, what does he do? When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he worshiped God. Gideon is a man who is transformed in his life and in his faith by the revelation of God. Gideon has dismissed 22,000 men, then 9,700 men. He is working with 300 men who are not trained in warfare. And when Gideon hears this dream, he has faith. He has faith that in the small number of men that God has given him and that God has provided him, he can deliver Israel. He has faith in weakness, faith in small numbers, and when he hears the revelation of God, he worships God. And so Gideon returned to the camp of Israel, and he called out, "Get up! The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands." Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them, with torches inside. Do you see in our text swords, spears, weapons to fight the Midianites, that Gideon is going to take this army into battle fully equipped in the best weaponry? They are equipped with trumpets. Why trumpets? As we see the theme in the Bible, as you remember the sermon in Joshua, when the Israelites marched around the city of Jericho, they blew the trumpets. The trumpets was the sound of alarm, the sound of the coming judgment of God. In the book of Thessalonians, when we read about the coming of Jesus again, there will be the sound of the trumpet, the approaching judgment of God. Now as Gideon is equipping his army, he is equipping them with trumpets to sound the alarm of the approaching judgment of God on those who have oppressed God's people. But what about the jars? Empty jars in the hands of all of them. When the Israelites begin to smash the jars, the smashing of jars in the darkness and with the torches coming around, is going to sound like the smashing of tents. They are a camp which is living in fear of the judgment of God which is coming. And so Gideon equips them not with swords, not with spears, but with the power of God, with the power of fear of the approaching coming judgment of God which will come upon the enemies. And so in verse 17, Gideon says, "Watch me, behold on me," he told them, "follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow their trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout for the Lord and for Gideon." Gideon has focused the attention of the Israelites upon the one who will deliver them. He has focused the attention of the Israelites for their salvation on doing as he does, the one who leads them into battle, who defeats the enemies of God. And so, Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they had changed the guard. They blew the trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. The 300 companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars. Grasping the torches in their left hands and holding it in their right hands, the trumpets they were to blow, they shouted, "A sword of the Lord and for Gideon." And while each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. Not a sword was drawn. Not a spear was thrown. Salvation came through God's deliverer. How? Verse 22. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. Who caused the people to turn on each other? The Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. The army fled to Beth Shittah towards Zerah as far as the border of Abel-Meholah near Tabith. Israelites from Naphtali, Asher, and all Manasseh were called out and they pursued the Midianites. Gideon sent messengers throughout the hill country of Ephraim saying, "Come down against the Midianites and seize the waters of the Jordan ahead of them as far as Beth-Barah." So all the men of Ephraim were called out and they took the waters of the Jordan as far as Beth-Barah. They also captured two of the Midianite leaders, Oreb and Zeb. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb and Zeb at the winepress of Zeb. They pursued the Midianites and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon, who was by the Jordan. This text, as you read it, is clearly a victory of God. It is clearly a victory of God which shows strength and power, not in a glorious army, not in how powerful Gideon was, but strength in how weak they could become, in how God could give them the victory. Gideon is a man who in his faith has doubted, but through the revelation of God, he is transformed. And as Gideon is transformed, his faith is evident and begins to display itself as he begins to give up things, as he begins to do it not Gideon's way, but God's way. How could Gideon give up 22,000 men? How could Gideon then give up 9,700 of his men as the leader of God's people? God forced him to surrender his army. God forced him to take no weapons into battle. God forced him to trust that God, not Gideon, not the Israelites, would give them salvation and would give them the victory. One of the lessons we learn from the story of Gideon is that God, in his own timing, often allows evil to destroy itself. God has his own way of salvation. As God's people, we are not called in our own power to take up arms and to destroy evil on our own. But God, in his own timing, in his own power, allows evil to destroy itself on its own. The kingdom of Babylon, in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, one of the most powerful kingdoms in the world, a kingdom which by its own sin began to destroy itself and ultimately did. The Roman Empire that the Hebrews, that were oppressing the Hebrews, which were oppressing them for their Christianity, for being faithful Christians, and by its own sin, by its own longevity and the period of time that it ruled on the world, eventually destroyed themselves. The people of Israel, the people of the Hebrews, were willing to take up arms. They wanted a Savior who would come and would lead them into battle against all the evils of this world and the ungodliness of this world. And what did God give them? God gave them a Savior who came and who died on the cross. If there ever was a way in which you expected God to give salvation, it was not like that. How is there salvation, they were asking themselves, in someone coming and dying on a cross? But that was God's way, not their way. It was God's timing, not their own plan, not their own desires. God, in his own timing, is allowing evil to destroy itself. God is not calling us to take up arms. God is calling us to have the faith of Gideon. Faith that in someone, that in God sending his son to die on the cross and to rise again is the salvation that God is giving. That God will take care of the rest, and we are called, as Gideon was called, to trust in the revelation of God that he has given us, that he has provided salvation, that he has provided deliverance. What is God calling us to do? Verse 17 of Judges. Watch me, he told them. Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do as I do. God is calling us to watch the Savior that he has sent us. To watch the Deliverer, the one who would later come, the Lord Jesus Christ, and save Gideon. We are to gaze on him and to do as he did as we live our lives, as we face oppression, as we face difficulties. And what did he do? He went to the cross. We are to gaze on him as we live our lives. We are to follow him. We are to be servants as he was a servant. He has called us not to take up arms, not to go into battle, not to fight things boldly here on this earth and to try to win the battle on our own as a church. But he's called us to gaze on him, to serve him, to live our lives, and to know that ultimately God will destroy evil. But you see, this isn't only a battle that we are fighting with a culture or with a nation or with the ungodliness of the world around us. But this is a battle which goes on in our own lives. Many people, when they try to, when they live their lives and they're struggling with sin and they're trying to overcome sinful patterns, sinful tendencies, things that they say to themselves, I don't understand why I keep sinning, why I keep going into this again. They try very hard to overcome these sins on their own. They don't go with the faith of Gideon and say, I can find faith and strength in following Christ, in gazing upon him, in looking at his death and resurrection and finding hope there in that. Instead, they make some kind of resolution where they say, I'm not going to struggle with that anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. And gradually, they again fall into their sin. God doesn't save by our own power, but the story of Gideon tells us that God saves his way. God saves when we look to our deliverer. God saves when we look upon Christ, when we follow him, when we become servants as he did, when we live our lives as him. But you say to yourself, hey, this Gideon, he's in the halls of faith, but look at the things that God gave him which would help him believe. God had him meet an angel who took up the offering that Gideon brought. Gideon had a fleece. I would love to have a fleece. If God would show me the same miracle that Gideon showed God, if God would reveal that to me, then I would believe God more and I would believe in his salvation. God continually gave Gideon revelation to give him confidence that this is the way that God would save. I don't have that kind of revelation. But the answer is that you do. You have revelation that Gideon never knew. God has opened your heart to understand the New Testament, to understand about the coming of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and who resurrected again. Gideon lived in a day where he could not know that revelation because it had not happened yet in the Old Testament. But you live in a day and you say, God hasn't given me revelation, but he has. He's opened your heart so you can understand this book, so that you can know that God has sent a Savior, so that you know that God can provide salvation in weakness. He hasn't given you an army or powerful tools or weapons in which you can fight against evil in your lives and in this world, but he's given you his revelation of a Savior, his revelation of the Deliverer. And the faith of Gideon is calling us to look upon him, to know that he alone can save, to know that we are called to follow him, to do as he did, to serve him all our lives. And this morning, as we prepare to take part in the supper, we are called to gaze upon him. And the strength of faith in weakness, faith not in ourselves, but faith in the blood and in the bread, in the body of Christ, which was sacrificed for us, which helps us overcome the evils and powers in this world, so that we can look to Him and find salvation in Him. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we look at the story of Gideon, we see, Lord, the power of faith and weakness. We see how the 300 men gazed upon their Savior, and as they did as He did. And Lord, we see also in the story of Gideon, a man who struggled in his faith, but who by Your power You transformed. You changed through Your revelation so that he had the faith. When he called out to You and said, Lord, help me in my unbelief, You helped him. Lord, we come here this morning like this. We come as sinners, knowing that if it were up to us to stop sinning, to stop fighting the battles of evil in this world, we would have no hope. But You have given us the revelation of Your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior who has come to save us. You have opened our hearts so that we can know Him, so that we can believe that the battle is won through Him. Help us, Lord, to do as He did, to serve You, to be faithful as we lead our lives before You, to trust that He alone can save, to know it is not by our swords and spears, not by our great numbers that we are saved, but it is only by the power of Your Son, the Lord Jesus, that we have hope and salvation. Lord, may You strengthen our faith. May we leave here this morning with the faith of Gideon, faith only in Your salvation that we can live. We pray this all, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.